Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oops, did I do it again? This is Wretched Radio. I think that's as close as we're ever going to come to quoting Britney Spears right there. Oops, did I do it again? If you recall, somebody sent in, it was a text or an email to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337 asking about the conscience. Mm. How do you have a strong conscience versus a seared conscience? What's the difference? And I cited a number of ways that you can keep your conscience strong. Earlier, I had also mentioned that I, without intending to, was basically quoting something, sharing something regarding temptation that I had read in a book titled Temptation a week or two ago. That I didn't, like, as I was talking and sharing it, I wasn't thinking about this book. I didn't even, see it, let alone think about it. But it was just coming out. Well, guess what? That last question that was asked about the conscience, I think it was happening again. And the reason I'm sharing this is I think, I hope, is a word of encouragement for you. If you feel like, wow, I really don't remember much, don't be so sure. You get formed, you get shaped. We're Play-Doh and we get molded. What are the hands that fashion us? Worldviews. And so if you're consuming a biblical worldview through preaching, teaching, reading, etc., you're getting molded and shaped. And it's I'm telling you, it's just getting into you. So don't be discouraged. Oh, I can't remember anything. It comes out. Maybe without sight. You're not Al Mohler. You can't memorize every book that you've read and say, I read it in this book and it was on this page. You can't do that. But it's getting in there. So now let's see, Jimmy, if you recall, I said one of the ways that you keep a conscience strong, which I think is a good word, strong conscience, is to make sure your communion with God is strong. Mm-hmm. This book, Temptation, here's what it said. Your communion with God, your strength to stand and withstand Satan's fiery darts is from your communion with God. Where did that come from? What I said, where did that come from? I think it came from here. Now, I maybe had that thought without reading this book, but it wasn't anywhere near top of mind. Furthermore, where would that thought have come from if not this book? Probably a different book, probably a different sermon, probably a different lecture, because that's how our brains work. So let's share what this Puritan author, who wrote this, by the way, this was from Thomas Brooks, who died in 1680. You know, that was something that I just heard Michael Knowles say, that England rejoiced when the Puritans left. Well, if you want to put it that way, sir, they came to America. You can just thank those Protestants anytime you like to, my Roman Catholic friend. Furthermore, who is it that didn't like the Puritans? If you don't like the Puritans, I don't think it's because that you have a full understanding of what they were like. Were they probably more strict and severe than we are? Yeah. Who says we're right and they were wrong? Hmm? We are a very lax culture, and we would be unwise, I think, as Christians to think that we don't share similarities to the world in that regard. How would we have fit in? We got teleported back to the 17th century with a bunch of Puritans. What would they have thought of us? What would we have thought of them? So his judgmental attitude toward the Puritans, the question is, were they biblical? Furthermore, what aspects of them are you studying? I'm telling you, the more you read the Puritans, the more you read about men that loved the Lord Jesus Christ passionately and wanted that for people. They wanted good for people. They didn't want bad for people. I think, too, it could, speculating to a degree, but nevertheless, Michael Knowles, it revealed that he doesn't understand what laws are. The commandments of God, read Psalm 119. read Psalm 19. The laws of the Lord, they're perfect. The laws of the Lord, they're like honey. They're sweet. They guide my path. They give me knowledge. They cause me to praise. God's commandments are good. In fact, Jimmy, I don't know if I... First Peter, we're in First Peter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So because Peter, last week in our sermon in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, he gave 6 or 7 commands. Just do 6. Take out the trash. Don't be filled with malice, deceit, slander, envy, etc. And those laws can feel like heavy, Mrs. Marsh. It can be like, oh, okay, that's just a lot of law preaching. Well, we need to remember, what are the laws? The laws are good if used lawfully. God's commands are good for us. So when somebody says, oh, there's somebody who really wants to like enforce the laws. Well, okay, they could be legalistic, but not necessarily, because the laws are good. And the individual who is that critic, I think, exposes that they don't understand that God's laws are good. And we do well to change our thinking about the laws of God, that we don't see them as like, okay, there's another checklist. Okay, there's another box. Okay, there's something else I can't do. It's for our good. The laws of the Lord are good, reviving the soul. I wonder if Michael Knowles understands that. Back to Thomas Manton. Such a soul will fight it out to a soul high in communion with God may be tempted, but will not easily be conquered. Such a soul will fight it out to the death. Communion with God furnishes the soul with the greatest and the choicest arguments to withstand Satan's temptations. Because you have to just stab your Lord in the heart when you succumb to Satan's temptations. Communion is the result of union. Communion is a reciprocal exchange between Christ and a gracious soul. It's Jacob's ladder, where you have Christ coming sweetly down into the soul, being influenced by God himself. Communion with Christ is very inflaming, raising, and strengthening, and on it goes. In other words, communion with the Lord will help you battle sin. It'll keep your conscience strong, and perhaps my inability to remember the source of my thoughts is an encouragement to all of us. You keep consuming the word. It is getting in there whether you know it or not. Idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Marie. Todd, what is your favorite book of the Bible?
Oh.
And don't say First Peter. I added that.
Hey, you can't add. You can't do that. You can't throw in your own thoughts. That's like reverse plagiarism or something. You know, I think we've all been asked that question before, or maybe some sort of group thing. Hey, everybody, think about what your favorite book is. I don't know. I don't. Okay, put it this way. If I could only take one book of the Bible to a desert island it depends. Who am I going to the island with? I guess it would be a deserted island, maybe a desert island. If I'm going with Ken Ham, I'd pick Genesis, because if not, it would just be so insufferable. But if I were maybe going with anybody else, I'm telling you, I really think, Answers in Genesis, they're always doing new stuff. They're always, creating new things to support the veracity of the Old Testament. I think it's time, like Questions in Exodus, something like that. So Ken, if you're listening, I don't know, Confusion in Leviticus, just something to
help
you guys
out.
There can be some confusion in Leviticus. What book would I pick if I were going to an island by myself? Whew. Well, okay, there's a number of them that I think about, because I want to make sure that I've got a book that has the most holistic teaching possible. Because if I can't have access to the Old Testament, so like, for instance, see, this is why knowing who you're going to be stranded with, this, you don't want to go on a 3-hour cruise with people that you've got to vet them. Because if you go with Ken and you get deserted and stranded and you don't pick Genesis, you're in trouble. You're on that boat with Andy Stanley and you have something from the Old Testament, you're in trouble. Completely different reason there. So I'm thinking, what would be the widest teaching? I'd want a gospel because I'd like to read about Jesus a lot, because there is a difference in reading the biographies of Jesus and his words and reading theology about him. So I would be very tempted to say Matthew would be on my list because it's the longest. Boy, John would be great too, wouldn't it? Matthew or John would be one of the gospels. I would like to take one of those. If I had to pick an epistle, the longest treatment, theology-wise, okay, you could argue 1 Corinthians just because it's longer, has more 10 more chapters, but I would say Romans is going to be a really thorough treatment of just everything that we need to know. Now, I will say this, there is something to be said for Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and 1 and 2 Timothy. I don't know. Why did you do this to me? Jimmy, what? You got one book. What do you bring?
The Holy Bible.
Yeah, well, you can't. All of it. No, you got one out of 66.
Okay, so if I had to give an answer, can I take two?
Okay, you are very, very, very close to speaking in tongues. Very, very close.
1 and 2 Timothy.
That's two.
I know. I said, can I take two?
1 and 2
Timothy.
Fine. This is Wretched Radio.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur, bringing the weight of Scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot button issues, you're going to get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens: critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault, and I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet and priest in Israel. The language in the book of Ezekiel is often symbolic and figurative, but the message is clear. God rules over and judges men and nations. When you are tempted by sin, Ezekiel reminds us that God is holy and has called his people to holiness. He will go to great lengths to purge evil from among them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
First and Second Timothy. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, you can only bring one book. Your math is bad. We've all known that. So you bring First and Second Timothy as your one book.
Right.
Why that pastoral epistle?
Well, because my time on the desert island, I want to read about what a healthy church is supposed to look like.
But it's just you.
I know, but you don't know who else is coming. We got to build a church.
Uh-huh.
So I want to make sure that
good,
I do it.
Good thinking.
That's right.
But you do allow me a springboard into my favorite joke, which I think I've only told like 600 times. So a guy stranded on a, is it deserted or desert island?
It's deserted.
It's I think. Desert. A desert island, that's where you eat like a lot of cheesecake after every meal. I think there's a difference. One's got a lot of sand. Okay, so he's stranded on the island all by himself. He's been there for years. Finally, a boat comes by. The crew comes rowing onto shore. And the captain meets the guy who's been there by himself for 10 years. Am I ruining the joke with the setup? Am I trying too hard to make sure we get the joke? Okay. And there's three huts. And the captain says, there's one guy, three huts. Why do you have three huts? He goes, well, that one's my house. That one's my church. And that one, that's my old church. Thank you. Thank you very much. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, my wife and I go to a small church, about 30 people. It's a solid church. And over the last few years, there have been several weddings in the church. And that's a good thing. But now, almost the entire church is family, including my wife and me. Is this a problem?
Well, it's like the entire church is family.
Basically almost related because everybody wound up marrying everybody.
No, it's not a problem necessarily. If it becomes kind of cliquish and tribal and people that visit feel like, oh, I'm not going to get involved because I'm not going to feel like I'm in because I'm not, because I didn't marry somebody with the last name of the pastor. Yeah, that could be a genuine issue. But I think you just need to make sure that people don't ever get that sense. They shouldn't get that sense. And even if they did discover, hey, everybody around here is married to somebody who's a part of this family tree somehow, they shouldn't feel any sort of discomfort. Short of that, I can't see any reason why that would be a problem. Can you, Jimmy?
I mean, no, not inherently, but like you said, you've got to guard against it.
Because it can feel like it's a click.
Yes.
A great big click.
Us four and no more.
And if you're part of that setting of the 30 member church, how could you find somebody who would help you know if that's the vibe that you're giving off? Because I don't think you'd be able to sense that for yourselves because you're in it. But you want to make sure that visitors never feel like, oh, there's all of the in people, that group over there, and the rest of us. That's very bad for a church. Very bad. So guard against it and then carry on. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ray. Todd, how does a Christian let shame and guilt go? For example, I always try to obey and follow God, but when I fall into sin, I get very angry with myself because I failed. I know I'm looking at myself and my efforts, not at what Jesus has done for me, and that's the wrong way to look at it because I'm now being prideful, depending on my own effort. How do I let my pride and anger go?
Yeah, you've got to be careful with sin in that you think that because you've committed a sin, and usually it's the besetting sin, that you think that you've got to do something to make up for it before God will be pleased with you again. I get that. That's wrong. Let me encourage you. This will bless your socks off. We've played it here, I think, a couple of times over the years. Milton Vincent's sermon on justification, Romans 5, 1 and 2, will help you with this so much. Because I think there's something. We are bent not toward grace. We're bent toward works, all of us. And so we need to fight that propensity our entire lives. And so you commit a sin, and here's how it manifests itself. You get mad at yourself because you think that you need to stay mad at yourself for so long before God's not mad at you anymore. You need to show solidarity because certainly God has to be mad at you. Well, here's a biblical reality. If you're in Christ, God is never mad at you, ever. Can he be disappointed? Yes, you can grieve the Holy Spirit, but you are in Christ. God has never mad at you again. It is formal. It is legal. You cannot be on the receiving end of God's wrath. He can discipline you as a loving father, but you cannot receive his fury because you are hidden in Christ and you do not need, you can't match his anger because he's not mad at you, but it's a propensity to feel like I've got to do that. Otherwise, that sin won't be forgiven. Or you respond when you sin by thinking that you need to do something. Okay, well then if I did this, then I've got to do that. Okay, you're working. You're trying to erase your own sin. Here's another way that I think people can respond to sin. They feel like they can't talk to God about it for X number of hours or days. And then during those X number of hours or days, they need to read their Bible so much, or they need to go to church X number of times. Then they're returned to communion with God. What is that? That's a sense that my works can somehow appease God or buy my favor with God. Watch out for that propensity. Now that you perhaps identified what that issue is, now what do you do about it, which is the heart of the question? And the answer is you continue to do exactly what the Bible prescribes that you must do. Consume the pure milk of the word in regard to your salvation, for your growth in your salvation, as you study the kindness of the Lord. So keep using the means of growth. Keep communing with your God. Those are the things that you need to do, because increasingly as you bake yourself in God's word, the aberrant thoughts of shame and guilt, they're going to be replaced by grace and a knowledge that God has forgiven me of those things. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the Puritan prayers again. And when you read them, it's staggering. And I'll bet I could find one online. I'll try to Google one here. But if not, and almost any Puritan prayer, any confessional prayer, it'll be something like this. My sins take me to the very depths of hell, but your grace soars to the heavens. I perpetually live in a pigsty, and yet your kindness cleanses me constantly. Do you see what they do? It's this acknowledgement. Yeah, they're sinners, but yeah, God is gracious and merciful. You need to be remembering those things. Memorize Bible verses that talk about those things. Memorize scriptures that will affirm. So when you find yourself going, oh, I'm feeling really shameful, I'm feeling really guilty. Hold on, wait a second. And then you cite your verse to yourself and you trust that, not your feelings. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, since my brother got married to his pagan wife, I have no desire to speak to him. I feel as if though he spat in our faces, and more importantly, that he's spat in God's face. I'm angry and I'm hurt, but I don't want to be. What do I do about my relationship with my brother?
You got three issues there. First of all, it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be hurt, but ask yourself some questions. Interrogate yourself as to why you're feeling that pain. I don't know your heart. There can be a thousand things that motivate that kind of attitude. Why are you hurt? Because you want to make sure it's not a sinful hurt. Like, hey, he besmirched our family. Okay, what's that? Could be pride. It could be that you have an idol of reputation. It could be that you have a fear of man problem. So you want to find out if there's any sort of sinful heart motivation behind that feeling bad. But short of that, it's okay to be, it's like, oh no, he's going to make if he's a professing Christian, I don't know if he is or not. Let's just assume for the sake of the conversation he is, you can still feel bad and say, oh, he's in for such a hard time. Oh, and if he's not a Christian, of course it's okay to feel sad about that. So I don't want to say to you, you shouldn't feel bad, get over it, start treating him like this. No, it's okay. But that would be a season. I don't know how many months that season is. I don't know how many weeks, hours, or years, frankly. But it must be a season, because you should heal from that. And you heal from consuming the pure milk of the word. Now, as far though, there's another issue here. How do you treat the guy now? How do you treat somebody who does something that you think is an act of betrayal? Well, he's still your brother. Still your brother. He was being a knucklehead, but he's your brother. And I know this is hard because anytime we feel like we don't let it go, we feel then like we're affirming their bad decision. That is not the case. It's just not the case. If they know where you stand, your brother knows where you stand. So what do? You put it aside and you love your brother and you have a great relationship with your brother and you enjoy your brother. And then I would finally say this, if he's not saved and we know that the wife isn't saved, guess what? It looks like the Lord has just given you a ministry. This is Wretched Radio.